This is the continuing Are You Woke series, and we're taking a brief look at the book of Daniel. Let's stand for the scripture reading. Daniel 5, 10 through 12. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. You may be seated. Daniel is said to have descended from the royal family of David, a true Israelite. He was carried into Babylonian captivity when he was very young, in the fourth year of King Jehoiakim of Judah in 605 BC. The 10 northern tribes had long been taken away in the Assyrian captivity, never to return to the land of Israel as a whole. The siege of Judah by the Chaldeans covered many years. While King Jehoiakim had been captured, the city of Jerusalem with subsequent kings remained until the final assault by the Chaldeans in 586 BC. Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, that's the Chaldeans, and did not know the God of the Israelites. Through the events described in the book of Daniel, the king came to, quote, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, end quote. It is fully established that it was Israelites, not Jews, who were captives of the Chaldeans in Babylon. Quote, then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility. Daniel 1, verse 3. Why then do most Bible translations use the word, quote unquote, Jews in Daniel 3:8 and 3:12? Jews are one thing and Israel is another. The two are not the same. The Chaldeans differentiated between the gods and mortal flesh. We previously have seen this distinction within this series of sermons in the terms, quote, sons of God and, quote, sons of men. But we have not identified them. One of the most important principles of Scripture is that the dwelling place of the children of God is to be separate from all other peoples of the earth. The Chaldeans also recognize this. King Belshazzar was greatly troubled over the handwriting on the wall of the palace that mysteriously appeared as he and his lords feasted and praised the gods of gold and silver. His father Nebuchadnezzar had taken the gold and silver vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. The Chaldean queen effectively said to the king, quote, don't worry, be happy. Don't let it get you down, there is hope. I know of a man who has the Spirit of God who can tell you the meaning of the dream. His name is Daniel. Just call him. He can tell you the interpretation. If there is anyone that can help you, surely it is Daniel, end quote. That Daniel interpreted the dream qualifies him for the quote-unquote God status spoken of by the queen. And in the minds of the Chaldeans, the Chaldeans believed in many gods, but we know there was only one holy God, the God of Israel. Since the Chaldeans recognized a distinction of the races, it credits them with a theological knowledge superior to the common Christian theologians of today. They fail to see the race issue, for they are taught to be, quote-unquote, colorblind. The sons of God within modern Christianity seem to have lost this very important knowledge in this present age. A further acknowledgement of, quote-unquote, gods, small g, is made by King Nebuchadnezzar when looking into the fiery furnace where he had thrown Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Quote, but I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods, end quote. Daniel 3:25. This is how the Chaldeans saw things, and the word for God here is in their language, the Aramaic, not in the Hebrew. This should remind us again of the changes taking place in the use of languages during this time period. The return of Judeans to rebuild the temple. The same time the word, quote-unquote, Jew began to be used. It is believed by many that the fourth person in the fire was the Son of God, as the King James Version renders it, Jesus the Christ. So how appropriate that the king made the identification of, quote, a son of the gods, end quote. Those of Israel are co-heirs with him. Quote, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together, end quote, Romans 8:17. Furthermore, the queen noticed something different about Daniel, because she said, quote, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, end quote. Of course, she did not know that there was only one holy God. She was a Chaldean and didn't know any better. But she realized that Daniel was different because of his relationship to that holy God. Isn't that the way it should be with all Christians in the world? It is God's purpose to reestablish the identity of his children as this age comes to a close. This is seen in the interpretation of Daniel's dream in chapter 7. Quote, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel 7:18. The meaning of the word saints is the holy ones who are identified throughout Scripture as the Israelite sons of God. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Daniel 7, 21-22. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Daniel 7:27. Daniel's dream was for the end of the age when the holy children of God will find their place of authority over the whole earth, serving God's purpose as he intended in the first place in Adam. The saints or holy ones to whom the Bible was written are the Adamites who came through the loins of Abraham and the 12 tribes of Israel. This holy family, race, has a destiny yet to be fulfilled within the kingdom of God. In the meantime, before the end of the age, Daniel said, quote, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Daniel 7:15. He was quite concerned about this fourth beast or king that was to arise in the earth, and who was different from all the others, who devoured, crushed, boasted against God, and waged war against the saints. Quote, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. He shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away, to be consumed and destroyed to the end. This is from Daniel 7:23. 25-26. This fourth and last beast kingdom, which would be very different from all the rest, must be nothing more than Jewish communism. Has the world ever known a people more arrogant and boastful than world Jewry? A people who through stealth and deceit has usurped the power of the great nations of the earth. When in power, they attempt to crush all opposition, especially true Christianity, that stands between them and ultimate world power. In our lifetime, they have indeed worn down the Christians to a state of corruption and ignorance, accepting universalism and babying the children of Satan. Is it not true that this fourth beast is very different from all previous kings with their conquering armies? The Jews have a tiny country, yet through subterfuge and world economics, including usury, they have conquered nearly all nations, including America. Billions of people have been conquered in the mind first by satanic philosophies, then what follows is brute force. And it is to the eternal damnation of the Christian church that it has led the way in this submission to the forces of Satan. Many of their pastors are still looking for the Antichrist when they are already here in full array, conquering at will. But in spite of the professional ministers of churchianity and their betrayal, we have the assurance from our God that this beast kingdom, Jewry, will be destroyed forever. To those Christians and pastors who teach that the Judahites who returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity were all that remained of the Israelites, let them be informed by the prayer of Daniel. Quote, to thee, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us, confusion of face, mixed breed in the face. As it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those that are near and those that are far away, in all the lands to which thou hast driven them because of the treachery which they have committed against thee. End quote, Daniel 9, verse 7. Daniel was fully aware that there were Israelites other than those in Babylon with him. He acknowledges Israelites in Jerusalem, in nearby countries, and in faraway countries. The faraway were Israelites in the house of Israel, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, that was Samaria, already taken away. Those near, of course, had to be Israelites of the house of Judah, of the southern kingdom, who either remained or had returned. If those teaching the Bible would lay aside their preconceived ideas, maybe they would see more plain statements like these. This means there were far more Israelites in the world, not just a few thousand, quote-unquote, Jews, a false term that they use, that returned to rebuild Jerusalem. Notice how the scripture contrasts confusion of face with righteousness. Most people today would never suppose there is a relationship between the two concepts, but there is. There is wrong breeding and there is right breeding, and many times it is shown in the face, especially if it is among the darker races. Holiness not only refers to a person's character, but also to a person's genetics. The mixed breed is unholy. The purebred is holy. The queen noticed that Daniel had a spiritual quality that others in the kingdom did not have. So she said to the king, quote, "There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods." The word spirit here means having the attitude or mentality of God. Remember the statement from the apostle, quote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," Philippians 2:5. Those of the covenant family have spiritual gifts that other races do not have, and their attitude is the same as their Lord. This ought to remind us of the Adam that God created, quote, "in his image and likeness," in Genesis chapter 2, the spirit man. This was the man that God, quote, "breathed into his nostrils the breath of life," end quote, Genesis 2:7. From our opening text, we pick up in chapter 5 of Daniel at verse 13, where the prophet interprets the handwriting. Quote, "Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king said to Daniel, 'You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king my father brought from Judah. I have heard of you that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold about your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom.' Then Daniel answered before the king, 'Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom would he kept alive, whom he would raised up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened, so that he dealt proudly, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among men, and his mind was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. As he fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of men and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you. And you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, hear, or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. Then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed," end quote. Politicians fall into bad habits, don't they? And the U.S. government still worships the gods of gold and silver by seeking to dominate the world. Continuing reading at verse 25, "And this is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Tekel, and Parson. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed into balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." Then Belshazzar commanded, and Daniel was clothed with purple. A chain of gold was put about his neck, and proclamation was made concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. End quote. Daniel 5, 13 through 31. My conclusion. This article has some very interesting history. I'm quoting, "Don't ask yourself why children may want to be around drag queens. Ask yourself why drag queens insist on being around our children." This is written by Belle Boyd. "It is time to drag the queens off stage. Leave it to someone from Washington, D.C. to take something innocent and pervert it. So is the case with what has become known as the quote-unquote drag queen. In early Shakespearean times, females were not allowed to perform on stage in any manner, as it was deemed uncouth and illegal. Therefore, men would dress in female attire and take to entertaining a theater full of onlookers. The term drag was used to discuss how their costume dresses would drag across the floor, most assuredly due to the fact that these men were not as curvy and did not fill out these dresses as the females the dresses were borrowed from. Fast forward some 250 years, and drag queens have now become an American LGBTQ movement led by William Dorsey Swan, an African-American born into slavery in Hancock, Maryland. After the War of Northern Aggression, Swan's family was able to buy a farm and live fruitfully. When Swan turned 24 years of age, he was caught stealing and sentenced to 6 months in jail. In 1888, Swan was arrested in the first documented case of arrest for female impersonation in the United States. Some 12 other African Americans were also arrested, and as many as 17 others escaped. During William Swan's lifetime, he organized a series of secretive balls in Washington, D.C. Most of the attendees were men who were former slaves. After Swan stopped organizing and participating in drag events, his brother Daniel Swan continued his brother's legacy of debauchery for 50 more years. William Dorsey Swan, a black homosexual male living in the North, became the first queen of drag. His perversions that took place behind closed doors in Washington, D.C., some 120 years ago, have now spread across these, quote-unquote, United States, like the cancerous plague they are. What was once nothing more than performing arts trickery has morphed into a satanic cult that preys upon our children. This plague, as many other northern-born plagues, has traveled south into Dixie. There is no better time than now to nip this cancer in the bud. The League of the South stands in solidarity with all governors, like Governor Ron DeSantis, in protecting Florida's children and actively campaigns against any form of drag queen performances, especially those that involve and or promote a quote-unquote family-friendly environment, as well as allow or suggest any child under the age of 18 should be permitted to attend such a performance. Exposing children to drag queen performances, gay pride parades, and the like should be considered as lewd and lascivious as exposing them to pornographic material. There is only one reason to push this upon young minds, and that is to arouse them sexually and to take advantage of their naivety." This is from the League of the South. End quote. With this history, you now know why groups such as Black Lives Matter promote sexual perversion, not people concerned about black lives. Black folk have this proclivity, being governed more so by the flesh than by the spirit. gay rights and wokeism is just softening the target. The target's the Christian world. So that the next step can be the legalization of pedophilia. This is the goal of the globalist elite. Pedophilia. Legalized. All Christian churches need to be willing to take and use the authority God gave them to be a voice and a spiritual force against such evil overtaking our country. LGBTQ and wokeism must be challenged. Daniel prophesies, quote, "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever." End quote, Daniel 7:18. In summary, I have a few observations. The words Jews and Jewry appear only three times in Daniel, the King James Version, and even less in other translations. The proper alternatives being Judah, Judean, or Judahite. Daniel was certainly not a Jew. As we have noted, he was Israelite. The Chaldeans, as with all ancient civilizations of the past, recognized the race issue. They were not colorblind. Likewise, we today should acknowledge racial differences. But sadly, and to our own detriment, this is not the case. This is what is destroying America, and Judeo-Christian churches are the main culprits in our demise, for they do not preach the truth. If they were to speak the truth about race, then their handlers, the Jews, also are in government, would have a much harder time in implementing their woke agenda and satanic world order. The Queen recognized the godlike person, quote, "There is a man in thy kingdom, and whom is the spirit of the holy gods," end quote, Daniel 5:11. Now, God's people are not always recognizable from the outside. Neither are they always perfect in the observable opinion of others. But they do have a spiritual capacity that the other races do not contain. This is how God created Adam, who is specifically shown to be God-breathed. Not only did God give him physical life, but he also gave him a spiritual life and a hunger within toward righteousness. And this is why God has a chosen race out of all the other races on the globe. Only this race has the ability to create a Christian civilization and a kingdom of God on earth. Let us excel in the spirit of the holy. The Almighty Father recognizes his children, and they are his covenant people. Amen.